Thanks for allowing me to come and speak to you for a few minutes. It's about 7:45. I'll be done in a few minutes. I won't take long. Our pastor always taught us that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you've prayed, you don't need long.
Amen. Amen.
And first time I met your pastor, it was down at Landmark Baptist Church where I attended. And is this on, preacher? Yep, this one. And I remember going into that.
You might have to push a button.
I think it's on.
It's on?
Just on. And I remember going into that handicapped bathroom in the hallway. And so I go into the handicapped bathroom, and I open the door, and I see your pastor. He's on the bathroom. He's like this, and he's praying. Oh, God, let me be a blessing tonight. Oh, and I opened the door, and I saw him, and I said, wow. I said, I can't wait to hear him tonight. Amen. And that always stuck with me. I don't think I've ever shared that with you, but that's the first time I met you on the in a bathroom floor crying out to God to be a blessing. Amen. To be a blessing. I meant what I said this morning about the walking wounded. How many have been saved here maybe under 6 months? You here, raise your hand. Under 6 months you've been saved. Under a year? About under a year. Amen. I think I better just go home now. Amen. But here's what I want to say about that. There is no secret to living the victorious Christian life. It's not a secret. I get turned off. This is me personally. I get turned off when a preacher would come. Here's the secret to a successful marriage, or here's a secret to being a successful teen, or here's a secret to, you know, just, you know, jumping and climbing mountains. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, I believe it's 29:29, that the secret things belong unto the Lord. Amen. And the things that are revealed belong unto the children of men, you and I. Amen? There are some things God is not going to reveal. Amen.
Amen.
Just like Chris hasn't revealed to you that he's really blind and Jesse could see. Amen. That's going to be his next surprise to you. And it has something to do with pants. I'm right here. It has something to do with pants. That's the clue. But Chris, that's a blessing. My church could use someone like Chris. Amen.
Amen.
Ever moved down to Connecticut, you got a home. And Brother Jesse, thank you for being a blessing to us all the time. Brother Jesse is such a blessing. They always ask for him. And he goes over there, you know, he's going like this. You know, finally, you know, I live in an uptight community, Fairfield County, one of the richest counties in the country. But you go there and he goes to his piano and he starts opening those pipes, boy. Everybody's silent. Conversations stop, amen. And he's a blessing. They enjoy his singing. But there is no secret to living the victorious Christian life. And the victorious Christian life is this: walking wounded and still in church on a Sunday night.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You want to see how popular Jesus is? Come on Sunday morning.
That's right.
You want to see how personal he is? Come on Sunday night. Amen. And you want to see how much power he has? Come on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Because church on Sunday mornings is packed. Sunday night, few and far in between.
Right.
I can't have a Sunday night service right now. Probably won't come. Say, have it and they'll come anyway. Well, I'm working on them. It's really a local church. It's really neighbors that are getting saved and coming to know the Lord. And there's many coals in the fire. But if you would, Bill, if you don't mind, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Amen.
I won't be long. And I'm not one of those guys that, like Bill Grady says, he won't be long, and it's about 2.5 hours later. Amen. And he's going like this. It's in my book. It's in my book. Read it. It's in my book. I was listening to him on the way up, actually. I enjoy him. He's a real blessing. He loves the Word of God. I love anybody that loves the Word of God. But, like I said, there is no secret to the Christian life. All you need for your walk in the Christian life, I don't know what you got going on in your life, you need a Bible. Need some reading and maybe some tears. Amen. April, I want to thank you for taking my daughter up there. And I want to tell you, George was my friend. He was always an encourager. Came out to Connecticut, and George worked for me for a little while, and he was such a blessing. I use his lines quite often in Connecticut. In fact, I used it on Friday morning at that men's prayer breakfast. I said, I had a good friend, and he used to say, how you doing, Brother George? Oh, better than I deserve. I ought to be in hell with a broken back. And I share that with most people that I might kind of talk to, and the guy I'm working for right now, he loves it. He says, I like that. I use that now. Amen. So one of the things is Alex said up here this morning or this evening, he said this. He said, you know, you missed a good time or you missed the Lord or you missed nothing. You know what they're saying on the other side? I wish you were here. Wait till you see this. Amen. Wait till you see him. Amen. Wait till you see him. Oh, he's better. He's better, boy, in person. Can't wait for you to get up here. And if you're saved, you can look forward to that. Amen. And there is no secret. There's no secret to when we get to the other side. We shall know, even as we are known. And it's the end of our faith. I don't have to worry about if God's going to answer this prayer or that prayer anymore. I'll know, even as I am known. So, April, I'm proud of you. Fight through the battle. Amen. And it's good to see you here and see you in the faith. I meant to tell you that the last time, but you get caught up. But I appreciate you, Brother Ryman, being so gracious to allow me to preach here for this moment. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 1. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace, and from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Thank God it's not according to our works. I'm glad that's in there. But according to his own promise, purpose, and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Amen. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in you. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom Phygellus, Hermogenes, and the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And chapter 2, 2 verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray for the Holy Spirit to have touched me. Amen. Oh God, I pray, Lord, for your help because you are the high and lofty one. Amen. There's none else beside thee. There's no Savior beside thee. Amen. Oh God, I've prepared some words on the paper that I wrote. But oh God, I got a book that you've given me. And I pray, God, you would please have mercy on this poor fella.
Amen.
As he tries and seeks to be a blessing to your heritage.
Amen.
Lord, I pray, God, you'll help us tonight. Give me liberty in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I've got 9 quick ones, and this is going to be quick. Here in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll probably just stay there. Here's the first one I wanted to see. Number one, it's the faith. It's the faith. And this is one I have here. Serving faith. Serving faith. Look at verse number 3. It says this, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You know what you have tonight, people here? You have a serving faith.
Amen.
He's not talking to unbelievers here. So let's get this past the ones who have been saved. He's talking to saved ones. And a saved one ought to serve.
Amen.
Amen. That's just how it goes. I posed a question earlier, how long you've been saved. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you know what you're going to do? But you're going to serve. You're going to serve. That's what Paul said. He said he's writing to Timothy, and this is what I believe. This is only my opinion. Don't take it to heart. I know we're all Bible believers here, but you know what? Paul wrote this letter to a young Timothy. And he's writing to Timothy. He loved Timothy. Timothy obviously have gone on some of those missionary journeys with him. I don't know what happened, but why would he have to write about something a few times in 1st and 2nd Timothy about being ashamed? I believe maybe possible that young Timothy on one of these missionary journeys, hey, listen, stonings took place. Whippings took place. Imprisonments took place.
Amen.
And maybe that happened to young Timothy. You know what he said? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is for me. But Paul understood many things about the Christian warfare. Maybe some things Timothy didn't know at the time. But he writes this letter nevertheless. Number one, it's serving. It's serving. You know, look at verse number 3 again. You know, how do you serve? Look what he says. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience that without ceasing, I have remembrance of my prayers. You know, the pastor talked about earlier today. He said, you've been learning about this prayer thing. That's serving.
Amen.
You know, the fella came up tonight. I forgot. Sorry, I didn't remember your name, brother. But he talked about praying for people. That's serving.
Amen.
That's serving. You say, well, I don't know how to serve God. Get down on your hands and knees and pray. Hey, pray. When you go home tonight, pray for sound the trumpet.
Right.
We're in a church building program. You're talking about being under attack. You're talking about walking wounded.
Amen.
We're there.
Amen.
So pray for us.
Amen.
Go back to your house and pray. And that's serving God. That's what Paul says here in prayers, not ceasing, praying for you. Look at number 2. It says this in verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know what he has here? It's a sincere faith. It's a sincere faith. You know, you can meet many people, and if you've been saved for any length of time, you've seen them come, and you've seen them go. And you've seen them maybe where they've been at, or, you know, you haven't seen them around in a while. You might not see them again. But, you know, I don't believe that. It wasn't that when they first started they weren't sincere, but then it comes to a time where they're playing church. Because if you play church, it's only a matter of time.
That's right.
It's only a matter of time when you play church. You can play church pretty good. You can cover up pretty well. You can have your attendance. You can give. But it's only a matter of time if he's not personal to you that you'll just fall back.
Right.
So Paul is writing Timothy, and he's telling him, hey, Timothy, he's reminding him, it's a serving faith, it's a sincere faith. Look at verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. You know what it is? It's a stirred up faith. It's a stirred up faith. You say, hey, you go back there in the book of Acts, those Jews stirred up the other people, didn't they? For their side, they stirred them up. Hey, there's nothing wrong with stirring you up tonight.
Amen.
There's not. Listen, the Lord knows you might have a broken heart. The Lord knows you might have a sad heart. Hey, didn't he say to them, why are you sad? He knows that. He knows you're sad. He knows the void you have. You say, well, he's just passing all those other pews and just my broken heart. He's just leaving it tonight. No, he's not.
That's right.
That's a lie. My Bible tells me that he careth for you.
Amen.
He careth. I don't always feel that he careth for me, Josh, but the book says he does, and I believe him.
Amen.
I don't trust my feelings. I don't trust my thoughts. They're deceiving.
Amen.
The devil's after me, and he's after you. He's a liar.
Amen.
But my Bible tells me that he loves me. And I can serve him with a sincere faith, and I can be stirred. Look at number 4.
Amen.
I told you we're going to go fast. Look at verse number 7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what I have? You know what I have, brother? I got a sound faith. My faith is sound.
Amen.
I can trust in the Lord with all my heart. And not lean on my own understanding. My own understanding is just not good. It's not good to have that. It's good to have God's understanding in some
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
If God reveal it to me. Amen. It's good to have that. But you got to have that serving faith, the sincere faith, a stirred up faith, sound faith. Oh, I like this one. Look at verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know what we have? We have a saving faith. We have a saving faith. No doubt tonight, most people in here are saved. No doubt tonight, some people have been through some hard times. Some people are in hard times. Hard times are coming for some. Maybe you're in a good season. You know, if you're in a good season, that's a good place to be.
Amen.
I'm going to take the light version over here. Let me see. Let me take this handsome young man over here. What's your name, brother? I like that testimony this morning.
Awesome.
You got some anger problems. Don't beat me up. Okay, I'm an old man.
Right.
Amen. Come over here, brother. It's like this, folks. Paul is writing letters, and he's writing them to a young Timothy. In some of his letters, he's trying to encourage local churches, and he's given examples of things that are happening. He's given examples of brothers that have fallen, right? Amen. Sisters that are arguing. Amen. But this is what we have to realize in our Christian walk, in our Christian warfare, is that some are going to be stronger than others. Some are going to be weaker than others. You know, if you have your sin pretty much down in the sense that, you know what, you don't struggle with things anymore. And you might talk to somebody and say, you know, I struggle with this and I struggle with that. Don't knock that person for that. You're not special because you overcame some of those things you had. God was merciful to you.
Amen.
Amen. He just didn't let the devil attack you in some of those areas. But boy, if God takes his hand off you, you better watch out. You'll be going through some things you never thought. Amen. So what I want you to do is we're going to do, you know what a fireman plunge is? All right, this is what we're going to do. Amen. See, I told you I had to take the light one, and I had to take the most athletic-looking one. You see, I put you on the spot, but I'm praising you, ain't I? I'm doing a good job for those single girls out there for you, amen? You owe me. You owe me, all right? But this is what I want to do. You go down. I'm going to let you down. Come on, lay down on your back. Lay down on your back. There you go. All right? You got a wounded one here. Now, I'm doing this illustration physically, but we're talking spiritual. We're talking spiritual things tonight. And that's what Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 1. That chapter is for the walking wounded. You know what? Sometimes he might need you. You've got to help me up a little bit. No, you're going to come up. No, you come up a little bit. You come on up. This is what he's going to need sometimes. You know what? He's still alive. He got hurt in the battle. He got hurt in the battle, folks. And you're in there with him. He didn't get hurt out there. He got hurt in here. He was doing something, just got a little wounded, a little hurt. Hey, maybe he might need to hide around a wall so no more bullets can hit him for now. Then a paramedic will come and help him out. You all right, soldier? Okay, I'm going to help you up. Come on up. All right, stay over here. And these are the paramedics. These are the good soldiers who are going to take care of you. And then you might go back out there, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Just help people. Christians need Christians to help them, not to beat them up. I'm glad they're around. They come to my church, and they might come to me and say, I know I haven't been around in a couple of weeks, and I know I got to get to. I, you know, I tell them, I give them a big hug. And if I can shed a tear, I say, man, I'm happy to see you this morning.
Amen.
It's good to see you. And I tell them, if I can help you with something, let me do that. But you know what it is? It's a serving faith, sincere faith,
amen,
stirred up faith. It's a sound faith. It's a saving faith. Here's a tough one. Verse number 12 says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. You know what it is? It's a suffering faith. It's a suffering faith. You know, Christ suffered for us, for the ungodly. Amen? He paid a dear price for me. He paid a dear price for me. That's why my favorite song is number 5 on my wife's CD, His Life for Mine. His Life for Mine. And I, you know, I love that story that I once heard, and you might have heard it. And it's about a school substitute teacher that took over a classroom. And the substitute teacher, all the kids were rompous and just making a mess, and Lord, nobody was paying attention. And so the teacher bangs on this desk, and she said, hey, he says, we're going to have a new order here today. And the teacher happens to be a Christian. And he says, hey, we're going to have rules. When you break the rules, we're going to have a punishment and so forth. I'm going to make this really quick. So they start talking about rules, for breaking rules, what happens for the punishment. And one of them was, you know, whatever, stealing, lying, or cheating on a test, or all those other things that day. So everybody goes about their business. And somebody's lunch was missing. And a big old strapping Tom comes forth and says, teacher, my lunch is missing. You know how important my lunch is to me. And the teacher's like, oh, boy. All right, let's find out who took the lunch. And the teacher had taken a snapshot of real thin, not emaciated, but real thin, poor-looking kid and with an overcoat on. He could tell from the overcoat, didn't have a shirt underneath. And he knew that that kid had taken that lunch. And when that kid came forward and they went through everybody, and the evidence turned to this kid, and that kid comes up, and teacher says, hey, you know, there's rules. He says, somebody has to pay. He says, you know, we're going to have to whip you and give you 5 stripes with this yardstick. And that yardstick comes out, takes off his coat, and teacher looks, and ribs are showing. And the teacher is saying to himself, how am I going to carry out this punishment? This kid, I know he's hungry. I could tell he's come from a poor family. But the teacher said, rules are rules. So that teacher said, hey, he took the lunch. He's going to have to pay for it with 5 whackings of this yardstick, and the teacher was going to administer that punishment. So the teacher stands up, that young man, and he's ready to give him the first whack. And then a hand grabs it. Teacher looks back, and it's Tommy. He says, Tommy, let my hand go. He has to pay the price. Tommy said, there must be something we could do. Teacher said, yeah, Tommy, we can do something. Doesn't matter who gets the 5 stripes. And Tommy said, I'll take them. Tommy's a big old strapping fella. All right, Tommy, you can take them. Take off your clothes, your shirt. We're going to give you the five whacks. Young man stood there knowing he deserved the whacks. And as that teacher wailed on Tommy's back, the first yardstick whacks him. And Tommy holds it. You can hear the snap of the skin. And then the second one. And the third one. And by the time the fourth one was ready to come, that kid jumps up. Tommy! I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm sorry, Tommy. Tommy took the next two hits. And that kid was forever grateful for Tommy. Aren't you grateful the Lord did that for you?
Amen.
That whip that we deserved, that beating that we deserved, the rejection that we deserved, the hurt from the very ones we loved that we deserved, he took for us.
Amen.
Amen. Look at this one. Oh, yeah, it's a suffering. Look at this one, number 17. It says this, but when he was in Rome, talking about Onesiphorus, he sought me out very diligently and found me. You know what it is? It's a seeking faith. If someone's missing, go get them. Look for them. The devil's deceived them. They need your help. Look for them. Pray for them. And don't worry about if they tell you not to call them. Call them again. Look for them and tell them you love them. Don't talk to them about their sin. Let God do that. The devil beats them up enough. It's a seeking faith. You know, I like Onesiphorus. I like guys like that. Boy, I like when guy hears stories like that. That's a victorious story to me. Goes to Rome. I like him. He's telling Timothy, hey, Timothy, you probably stood back there because you were ashamed. But Onesiphorus goes to Rome. He says, where's Paul? Anybody see Paul? I'm looking for Paul, the gospel preacher. And who's this, those guards say? You keep preaching like that, looking for Paul, you'll end up like him. Where is he? Oh, he's in a dungeon in Rome. Take me to him.
Amen.
I want to see Paul.
Amen.
He says very diligently there.
Right.
He sought him very diligently. I like guys like that. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. You know what it is also? Number 8. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You know what? Be strong. Be strong. Be strong.
Amen.
You can be strong because Christ is in you. You have the Holy Spirit of creation in you. Don't believe another lie from the devil. He's not passing you by. It's just a little delay. He's just refining you. He's teaching you things. He's on his way. He's going to be perfect timing for you.
Yeah.
Be strong.
Amen.
Be of good courage.
Amen.
We serve a wonderful God.
Yeah.
He's a good God. He gave the best he had. Why would he want you to fail? He doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want me to fail. He wants our church to start. But I can't quit. I got to keep going, 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 going.
Yeah.
I told you about that fella that broke my heart. I was with Brother Ryman today, this afternoon at his house. And I got a text as we were talking. It was from him. I prayed. Last night I sent him a text. I said, I love you. Forgive me if I hurt you. No response. All day. It was bothering me. It was bothering me. I'm actually glad I didn't preach today. Because I was bothered. But I was with him at the table and I got a text from him. He says, I love you too. We'll talk. Communication is good. Hey, if you haven't hurt somebody or you hurt somebody you think you might have, just go to them. And just pray with them at the altar. Do something. Hey, listen, this puny stuff about this or that, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I gave you an illustration of carrying that young man. Carry someone. Carry each other. That was a blessing to see another woman come up here and pray with her. God is well pleased. Hey, you got any tears for God? They go in a bottle, you know. Amen. Amen. They go in a bottle. Shed some tears. I love it when I see a man cry. Amen. I loved it when I saw Josh's eyes boil up. I like it when I see men cry. It's okay. I like it when I see women cry. It tells you where the heart is. Soft. It's good. You're in a good place. Crying is a good place. Last one, number 9. Look at verse number 3 in 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Folks, you're going to go through some hurt. You're going to go through some things. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Our military may ask you, and if you've served in the military, man, God bless you. You're my hero. I tell my kids that. Hey, a Puerto Rican from the projects, okay, they're all Democrats. My people are crazy, sorry. Hey, I was talking to some white people walking in my neighborhood the other day, and there was 3 of them. They walked their dogs. And I said to them, we were talking, one guy's a Boston Red Sox fan, but he's hardcore conservative. He loves me because he says I'm just a rarity. He says, you're like just a rare person. And you're, you know, knowing the Puerto Rican, being a conservative. And liking guns and liking the military. And I pledge allegiance to the flag. Amen. Amen. The Star-Spangled Banner. My kids know. I got a 30-year-old play Division I football. My wife would tell you, 300 pounds, full of muscle. And you know what that kid does? I made him do it. He knows it from a kid. He takes off his hat. And those sorry suckers that don't take off their hat. Amen. Shame on them. Amen. Wish I was big enough, I'd pound them. or wait a minute, better yet, I'll borrow something from Josh. Oh, I better stop. Is this live? Am I, you know, an FBI interview? It's the last thing I need is an FBI interview. But, you know, these 3 white people that come in, I say, you white people are crazy. That's what I told them the other day. I said, it's all your fault. I said, you go out there, white people marching with Puerto Ricans and Spanish people for DACA and this and immigration. Are you crazy? Don't you know we don't think straight? And they're looking at me like that, and they're going, yeah, I know. I can't understand. What's white people doing black and marching with black people? If I'm Puerto Rican, I wouldn't want no white people marching with me. I'm sorry. And if you're marching as a white person, you wouldn't want a Puerto Rican to march with you. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this, folks. If I can leave you with anything. Stay with it. Stick with the stuff. Listen, overlook people's faults. Don't be so condemning to anybody. Help one another. Don't despise someone like Chris coming up here and doing his thing. Amen. What a blessing, man. Or whatever you can do. Maybe you can't walk. Maybe you can't talk. Maybe you can't. Man, thank you for showing up. Thank you for taking the time. Don't ever think, oh, they don't miss me tonight. You'll be missed. Right. You'll be missed. Yeah. I miss, man, I tell you, having a church and a young church and a church that the devil's after, man, I tell you what, when one person's missing, I'm not the same. But then when I see them, I say, what a blessing. Amen. It's good. My heart gets cheered up when I see them come up my driveway. Don't ever take for granted your seat in this place. You might not sing a special. You might not preach. You might not do this, do these things. This part, I'm being honest, our part is easy. Our part is easy. We're pastors and preachers. We show up and do that. Man, I'm not just saying that. Your part is difficult. Your part is difficult. You got the hard part. You got a great reward for it. Don't ever, ever despise Christ. You can do that. Giving, in church, singing, participating, you can still despise Christ. Put that all aside. Christ will give you the green light and say, passes by you and says, oh, I know what you got going on. I know what you got going on. I know it hurts. Oh, but I'm with you. I'll be with you to the end. Amen. And then we'll fellowship forever. Amen. Amen. Come on up, brother.
We'll have your wife come sit.
Amen.